to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points, and I am one host, MG.
And I'm the better host, Red Bear.
He's definitely the second host. We're back after a long hiatus.
You love me.
I do love you. And I'm so happy that you're back. You were like in a black hole for a minute, even though they don't exist.
Man, I know. Or do they?
Well, I've heard both. And again, I guess we shouldn't go off on that tangent.
We need to get Tyson on the show. He'll let us know.
I've been watching Cosmos. I am enjoying that show.
I'm glad that he's redoing it. That's good.
Really, really awesome. But anyway, we're back after, it was like a three-week hiatus or a two-week hiatus.
I think we've only been off 2 weeks.
Well, we did a retro show, and then we did a music show. And now this is a Back to the Good Stuff show. And that's what the episode's called, Back to the Good Stuff.
Back to the Good Stuff.
We're going to kick it off the right way. Bear, what's the website?
That's exppoints.com. Double tap that P.
You can also check us out on Facebook and other social medias, facebook.com/experiencepoints, youtube.com/theexppointschannel, as well as we have a Google Plus and we have a Twitter. Go ahead into exppoints.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, and look at all of the social media. You can click on them, you can open up tabs. It's pretty fantastic. Do you like tabs, Red Bear?
I love tabs. In fact, I like Firefox because I put tabs in tabs and go between my tabs.
That's very exhibit of you. Who uses Firefox anymore?
Please. People who like tabs, obviously.
I use Netscape Communicator. It's only the most modern of browsers.
Yes.
So what did you do last week, the week before that? What have you been up to?
I have been gone and hiding for a while. I'm sure you're curious.
Were you hermiting it on a mountain somewhere?
Kind of. I was running around and I bought a van for $300.
Do we need to worry about this?
Nah, man, it's good. It's good. I laid down some cash on DJ equipment.
Awesome.
DJ Red Bear's hitting the streets with his van. It's going to be great. Also, didn't do much Vigi gaming, but did some tabletop gaming.
Oh, yeah? What tabletop you playing?
Yeah. We started up Star Wars Edge of the Galaxy.
Awesome. Awesome. What class are you playing? What kind of person?
I am awesome. I am a bodyguard.
You're an awesome person.
Class awesome. I'm a bodyguard Ewok.
What?
Yes. I only use my fists to punch things.
Okay. Do you sing about Nub Nub?
Yes, constantly. And I'm also half a foot taller than all the other Ewoks. And I'm a complete bro who never takes off his sunglasses.
You're like bro Danny DeVito Ewok then.
Exactly. That's exactly. Yes.
Okay.
So, that game though, Star Wars Edge of the Empire, highly recommend it, especially if you've never played a tabletop. It takes out a lot of the complicated stuff and really gets down to storytelling. And there's a dice system that's not a D. It's very similar to D20, but they use symbols rather than numbers, and there's less math, and it's just fun.
That's good because, like, I've tried like heavy D&D, and I watched.
D&D can be very intimidating to people.
It is, for me at least. I watched the Wizard of the Coast like yearly thing they do where they get the guys from PAX, and they had Will Wheaton and they had a few other guys. And that seemed fun, mainly because they're pretty funny guys, I think. But whenever I'm in the middle of it, it's like, here's a character sheet and here's a pen. Here's a bag of like, here's like a newbie dice. So you can go ahead and check out, you know, all the noob, you know, this is like the loner dice. And it's the same thing I feel whenever I start like Magic or another card game. You get like the loner deck, like the deck that nobody is like, yeah, this deck won me a lot of things back when the game was brand new, but it's been like
back
8 expansions.
Better cards.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to use that as a segue into the other thing I've been doing.
Oh, yeah? What have you been doing?
There is a card game based off of Magical Little Ponies out there.
Wow.
Have you heard about that?
Is it Magic?
It is My Little Pony, the CCG.
The charming card game? What's the C for?
Collectible card game.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And it is phenomenal.
Is it?
I'm not even going to lie. It's an amazing game. Go pick up a starter deck from Walmart and start playing. Go ahead.
No. This
me?
Is segue
oh,
is
I
good.
Get to go for it. Yeah, so I mentioned that because their first expansion pack is about to come out in May, Canterlot Knights. Canterlot Knights.
Nice.
Quick rundown. New cards coming up. Princess Luna, Princess Celestia are the two new mains. And there's going to be a Chief Thunderhoofs, a new Doctor Who's card. A lot of Doctor Who fans are happy about that. New Applejack, Pinkie Pie, Twilight. The Twilight Cane is now canon, which makes a lot of fans very happy. There's going to be a photo finish card, another Princess Celestia card, and I already have the Princess Luna card that is available in the Princess Luna lunchbox pre-release.
You know, you say you weren't doing a lot of video games, but you were definitely nerding out. This is awesome.
I was gaming. I wasn't video gaming is the thing.
I was video gaming.
One of us had to.
This is awesome because I'm going to start with the latter half of my week and work backwards because this actually plays into that.
Are we allowed to do that?
Yeah,
backwards in the week.
We're gonna travel in time. Come with me. Stay a while and listen.
On the ship of imagination.
I got into Hearthstone, which is World of Warcraft trading. It's not a trading card game. It's like I guess it's a card game. It's almost like my very first card game because it's the first one I've actually cared about long enough to play for any extended period of time.
So you're playing kind of a card game too, I see.
Yeah, you know, I've actually done everything you did this week except digitally.
Analog now.
I picked up Hearthstone, which is free to play. Download the Blizzard app and, you know, install it and play it. It's really awesome. It's one of those games where you can buy things for money. Like you can buy WoW gold or Hearthstone gold and buy more cards, or you could just play the game. It's fine. It's just like the, you know, pay to play or free to play or whatever, and, you know, pay for unlocks type of
microtransactions
thing. Microtransactions. And then I did pick up WoW again, and I did it very objectively.
We had this discussion, Matt.
No.
What have we said about you picking up WoW again?
Well, we were going to talk about this a little bit later, not in this show.
After the show, we are going to talk about this.
And after the show and behind the scenes. I stopped paying for EVE a while back, and my subscription kind of expired. And
happens when you don't pay your bills.
Well, no, I decided to let it lapse and everything because I had done a lot in the game.
I decided that was my power, so... That's why I'm playing card games now.
It's willpower. I was paying for EVE, and then I just did a lot in it, and I felt that all I was doing is this routine daily grind, and it was a sandbox.
You don't want a second job.
Well, no, I didn't want a second job, and I didn't feel like that. I felt like maybe
that
was moving there.
Yeah,
I thought it was moving there, and WoW, the one thing I missed about WoW that is not in EVE is storytelling. EVE is a very dried, make-your-own type of Destiny type of game, and that's very appealing whenever you're part of a theme park MMO like World of Warcraft, and a sandbox MMO like EVE looks really, really awesome. So I went to EVE. I enjoyed EVE for about a year and a half. I came off of EVE. I was playing for paying for WoW a little bit throughout that, but I was never playing. Well, I stopped
playing. Yeah, that's why I don't play WoW, because I pay too much and don't play enough.
I came back to WoW. It's fun so far. It's more like something.
So it's still Mr. Pandaria. The new expansion hasn't dropped yet.
Right. Yeah. So Warlords of Draenor is coming later this year, and we're gonna get Cap on board because he's been on the up and up with all that knowledge.
Oh, I'm sure.
Just to kind of recap. Yeah. So I played Hearthstone. I did WoW, and I actually beat two games in 2 weeks. I beat Infamous 2 all the way.
Awesome.
And then I beat Infamous Second Son. That's the PS4 exclusive. I got the game and I beat it, and I didn't master it, like not 100%, but I did beat the storyline, and I have to say, wow. That game, it's... Some people hated it for being as short as it was, and it wasn't really short. I think I played it for maybe like 14 hours-ish.
It's not short. That's good. That's good
for a
game.
Yeah, that's average. And
it's longer
still
than Portal.
There's a ton of extra content to do as well. Like, there's all these other missions that I didn't do. And there's some online cross-connectivity. It does – I could play it on my PS Vita if for whatever reason I can't be in front of the PS4. And it's a pretty game. It's one of the best-looking games I've ever played in any way.
Nice.
Better in every possible way. The physics, the navigation,
it could have been better than Lara Croft's physic hair.
No, it was. It really was.
I don't believe it.
The cloth was good. The water was good for what little time I spent in the water, because apparently in games now you can't swim. Remember in Grand Theft Auto 3 you couldn't swim?
Yeah, but that was a limitation of the engine. Why don't they want you swimming anymore?
Apparently when superpowers hit you, you can't swim. And that's
hydrophobic.
Yeah, but... that was pretty much my week. I played a ton of video games, and there were some other stuff that I worked on, but nothing I'm ready to divulge quite yet.
Or admit to
quite yet.
Outside of court of law.
What we're going to do, though, is we're going to cut to a song, and then we're going to come back and talk about
songs.
Our retro game. Our retro game this week is Parasite Eve, specifically Parasite Eve 1, but we're going to talk about the entire series and its origins, but we're going to do that as soon as we come back. This is The Future Soon by Jonathan Colton. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Making I can close my eyes. It's already here.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And that was The Future Soon by Jonathan Colton from the Code Monkey Save World Kickstarter. I backed it. It was awesome. It was
absolutely
great.
I love that man.
Yeah,
so
it's fantastic. He's like, look, him, Will Wheaton, like Patrick Stewart. Oh man, like Joss Whedon
of geekdom.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's be good. I wonder if they can like form their own band.
Yeah, there you go.
I hope more than just Jonathan Colton.
Maybe
have
they can
musical
get like
talent.
An abbey, you know.
Yeah, like a monastery.
Yeah,
like get outside it. They'd awkwardly be like looking in different directions at trees and birds and puddles and stuff.
Yes.
So yeah, before we talked about our week, and now moving on, we're gonna talk about our retro game of this week. It's been one that's kind of been coming along for a while now. I've been playing it. Red Bear, I think, owns it though. He probably misplaced it.
I apparently own it. I recognize everything about it, but never remember playing this game.
Okay. Well. It's Parasite Eve, and it's...
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, it's a pretty awesome game. It was back from 1998. It was, I guess, published and sold by Squaresoft before Squaresoft and Enix created the Square Enix. I don't know if you remember before Square Enix.
Yeah, I remember a time before Square Enix. That's how old I am.
Just to kind of put it in perspective, this game came out, and we were still playing... I completely lost, like I blanked. I want to say we were playing like Final Fantasy VI and Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy VIII around this time.
Yeah, sounds about right.
It's Parasite Eve, the first one, is the first of two games in the PlayStation 1 series of a three-game actual trilogy. And it's not really a trilogy. Parasite Eve 1 and Parasite Eve 2, that's direct sequels from one to the other. Parasite Eve 3, which is called The Third Birthday, is for the PlayStation Portable, PSP, which I don't think did very well in America, at least. It isn't so much a sequel or the third game in the series. It's more like a spiritual successor, sort of like a spinoff almost. Anyway, they're based off of these novels, or one novel, Parasite Eve. Again, it's a Japanese novel by Hideki Sena, where there's this biological kind of outbreak and bad things happen. I haven't read the novel, again, because I'm sure a ton of things were lost in translation.
I'm sure. But, man, I'm sorry. This is killing me. I know I've played this game because I'm reading the synopsis. I remember this stuff.
Yeah, you play.
But it's like I have amnesia about it.
That's fine. So did I.
At least I didn't catch
game.
On fire yet. Yeah. Maybe I've just connected with her so much.
So the main storyline is you play this female cop from the New York Police Department, NYPD Officer Aya Bray, as she and her partner Daniel try to investigate a series of these seemingly spontaneous combustion events over the course of, I believe, 5 or 6 days.
Right around Christmas.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. So Aya is at an opera. All of a sudden, this girl on stage bursts into flames. Well, she doesn't burst into flames. Everyone else bursts into flames.
Everyone else around her bursts into flames.
And Aya is the only one that is not burning. Turns out that this girl on stage is actually this biological kind of symbiotic mutant, where this girl's mitochondria, which is a biological term that we're not going to get into, has taken over the body. The mitochondria have evolved. And again, I'll spare you all the boring
mitochondria
details.
Mitochondria, or organelles of a cell.
That's right.
A specific organelle.
They control the amount of oxygen to the nucleus. I learned that by playing the game. Not from a biology book.
Not from biology.
Nope. Playing the game. Anyway,
Aya
and her sister Maya and apparently Eve all have this super cool ability, but whereas Eve's super mega scary, Aya is like super mega cool cop. Like she's like, she doesn't remember anything. She's sort of gotten like these flashbacks or whatever. And anyway, they evacuate New York because people just keep dying and catching fire and nobody likes that.
That's a good reason to evacuate.
Oh, yeah. They need to evacuate New York every now and then, especially whenever, you know, acts of biological terrorism are starting to occur where people just catch fire.
We should just evacuate New York every now and then, just watch it on the news, see how funny it is watching everyone get out of that city.
It's kind of like disaster testing, like a disaster recovery test. Like, you know, whenever you're building a system, you test, like, oh no, the system went down. How do we recover? Well, maybe you should test evacuating New York every now and then just to make sure people still know how to do it.
I mean, I imagine that's not an easy task.
No, I imagine it's never worked, in fact. Because there's always going to be people. Like, we tried to evacuate New Orleans a while back when Katrina came through, Hurricane Katrina. That didn't happen very well. People were like, I'm not leaving my homes. Completely separate topic. Parasite Eve. So it follows the in the late 90s, games did this thing where they had tank controls where you would push forward and wherever the character was facing, they would go forward. It didn't necessarily mean that they would go to the upper side of the screen.
Yeah, messed with me.
Resident Evil was famous for tank controls.
And bad camera angles.
I don't think Parasite Eve does tank controls, at least if they do, I've kind of adapted to them. But it does suffer from, it doesn't suffer from bad camera angles because it uses pre-rendered backgrounds and the camera angles change to specific spots. But the big thing about this is that the battles are in real time, but they're in a pause sort of real time. So contrary to how Resident Evil does it, where you're in a hallway and there's a zombie in the hallway or the undead or whatever we're going to call them, the T-virus, they're in the hallway. You could see them, you could run away, you could leave the level or the area. In Parasite Eve, you're just walking along and the battle happens. But it doesn't do it like in Final Fantasy. Like when they used to do it, you would just spin out of control like you're going down a toilet.
Right, and then it's turn by turn.
In Parasite Eve and several other games, they did this real-time fighting sequence where they would pause the rest of the game so you couldn't access chests or trunks or doors or whatever. You could only fight, but you could move around and avoid enemies' attacks, and you could attack back whenever you had the time to attack. So it was like real-time turn-based because you could still – you had a turn once you built up enough energy. I think it was called like an attack bar type of thing. But once you had enough energy, you could attack, and you could use an item, and you can do whatever. And you had like parasite powers, which used mana or parasite energy or whatever. I don't know.
It used blue, whatever the blue was,
which is, I assume, mana. In every game I've ever played, it's been mana. Or power.
We'll call it mana. I like mana.
You know, I'm playing this game, though, and I really enjoy... I enjoy the way it looks. I enjoy the way it feels. It's like mega nostalgia, too.
Well, yeah. Well, going back for a second, talking about the controls in it. You remember the 90s where we didn't have standard controls yet? That was fun.
I remember before we had analog control. Do you remember, like, digital controller control?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, like, you know, like, today you sit down at a first-person shooter. You know WASD is going to move you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's kind of like universal.
You sat down at a first-person shooter. You had no idea. It could be the arrow keys. It could just be random keys. Maybe even the numpad.
Something that recently I've been thinking about, because playing Titanfall and playing a few first-person shooters,
Titan is ready.
I don't know when we stopped using the control key to crouch. When did we start only using the C key?
Oh, my God. You're right.
Yeah, it's like something that seems to be universal, because before, I remember in like the game like Fear, F was the use key,
right,
and Q and E like made you
the leans.
It made you lean, which is awesome. Not many games do leaning.
No. And not many games do leaning well. Fear did it well, by the way.
Yeah, well, two of the Fear games anyway.
Don't get me started on that.
Percy's Mandate, the best Fear game ever.
Can't say what I want to say on the radio.
Right. Yeah, the controls aren't perfect in this game, but I feel like, you know, for the price you pay, it's $5 on PSN, or you could find it at like Second and Charles or eBay or something for probably $2. For the price you pay, this game's really awesome. It got 76% on game rankings, 81 out of 100 on Metacritic. Game Informer gave it 7.75. I mean, it didn't get 10s. Because it was sort of a game that just was in that era. It was like Legend of Dragoon. Same idea, same pre-rendered background, same polygonal sprites on top of that, or 3D models on top of that. But I feel like the story was original, more or less. The action was awesome, and it's generally fun. It's definitely worth, you know, playing on the PSP or the PS Vita using the PS1 emulator. I feel.
That's how you feel about it? I'm going to have to pick it up. Because like I said, I'm reading and watching these scenes. I know I played this game. I don't remember it.
Yep. That's what we call amnesia. You got the 90s blues. You don't remember anything.
I'm getting old. That's what I'm just getting old, man.
Yep.
Memory is first thing to go.
We are going to cut to another song, and then we're going to get into our mega section. This is our big mega section coming up. We're going to talk about, you asked for it, we're providing it, sci-fi shows.
Things I do remember.
This is The Power of Love by iFi Dragons. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Experience points. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You were listening to Experience Points, and that was Power of Love by iFight Dragons. We were talking about the retro game review. That was the Parasite Eve game for the PlayStation 1. Fantastic game. We're going to move on, though.
We're moving on to something Bear remembers.
Bear remembers
Doctor Who.
Just like Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Just like Pepperidge Farm, I remember Doctor Who.
Oh, man. Old antiquated Family Guy references. Doctor Who. These are sci-fi shows. We titled the section in the show notes, Favorite Sci-Fi Shows. They're really just really popular sci-fi shows. We're going to leave, almost without question, we're going to leave your favorite show out, I'm sure.
Obviously.
Not Red Bear.
Because no one likes Doctor Who. Yeah, if you don't know my favorite show by now, you haven't been listening to the show.
Right.
There'll be a quiz later.
Without question, if we leave your favorite show out, please go to the Facebook site, facebook.com/experiencepoints, and post your favorite thing. Just look at the post and post it. Comment and put your favorite thing there. Maybe even tell us why you like it so much. And we'll talk about that next show. We can have a part two. We don't have any restrictions here.
There's no rules except the FCC's rules.
Yeah, I mean, there are several rules, but
I can't say certain things to MG.
That's right. Or on the air. He could say them to me personally.
Or on the air.
But these are top listed sci-fi shows that people far and wide have found incredibly enthralling and entertaining, some of which we have, some of which we haven't, and we'll tell you. So
you'll know.
Go ahead, Dr. Bear, and kick it off.
Dr. Bear. All right, well, like I said, we're going to kick this off with Doctor Who, because that exists outside of space and time anyway.
Well, this is the older series. We're going to go chronologically. Right. So this started in 63 to 89.
This is the series I actually know. I admit, I'm a bad nerd. Everyone's on this Doctor Who kick, and I'm like, I need to watch the new Doctor Who, because the things I talk about, they're like, that's cute. What's K-9?
Who's Sarah Jane?
Yeah.
She was in those two episodes in the new Doctor Who.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. But yeah, so I need to watch the new Doctor Who series, I'll admit. But the old Doctor Who was amazing. It was actually, to me, had more of an Indiana Jones spin to it than the... I've seen a couple episodes from the new one, but this one seemed more Indiana Jonesy. Maybe because it was the 60s to 90s. Or
the 80s. Yeah, the original one. Yeah, I mean they were known for a lot back then. I mean, they had different they were I think it's actually Doctor Who specifically is listed as the longest running science fiction show ever.
I believe that is a true statement.
I believe that's
you heard it here first.
From Guinness. The people that make the book, not the beer company. I'm not even sure if they're actually called a beer company or brewery. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. St. James Gate.
Not the brewer. Anyway, yeah, so they have that. It spawned numerous spinoffs, including its like future version.
Yeah, the new Doctor Who series.
Yeah, the new
Torchwood.
Well, that's from the new one.
Yeah,
Torchwood.
Okay. I mean, that's still a spinoff.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
It's done very, very well for itself. We can go ahead and we'll talk about the new Doctor Who since it's kind of there.
Well, before we get this... segue into that. So they have a new doctor now. I don't know. He hasn't been in an episode yet. He's been in one episode for like a second.
Right, yeah, the Christmas
everyone
special.
Everyone was complaining he's a little bit older than the previous doctors.
It's Peter Cavaldi? Is that the new
guy?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. We could be completely wrong and going to get like flogged by Doctor Who girls in a minute. But I was thrown off by this older doctor thing. Because watch the original series. The first doctor was an old man.
Several of the doctors were pretty old, I think.
Oh, yeah, they were. But like the first one in particular, like the very first doctor in the show was legit like grandpa.
Yeah, I remember that.
So like I said, I need to watch the new series. That's what threw me off is people complaining that he was old. I'm like, when did he get young?
It's... fun fact, Doctor Who, including all of the Doctor Who episodes, so from 1963 all the way to 89, and then from 2005 all the way to the present, where current Doctor Who is being aired, 800 episodes.
Wow.
Lots of episodes. You can
More than Stargate.
You can watch every episode. You could take more than 2 years if you watched one episode a day to watch every episode of Doctor Who. And that's not even counting the specials and the movies, like the little movies that they have. Because they do, like, you know, spinoffs and stuff.
That is just craziness.
And that's not even counting the spinoffs either. That's crazy, right?
Wow. Yeah, So there's a lot of Doctor Who material out there for all the fans.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Lots of Doctor Who. Whovians, as they're called. And I, you know Whovians. What? I'll say this. I'm more of a current day Doctor Who Whovian than an older Doctor Whovian, because it's hard to watch really old, and I mean from the 60s, it's hard to watch older stuff. It's trying. It's really, really trying. I love British humor, and I can watch older British humor, British comedy. But Doctor Who, it didn't do anything for me back then. I felt like they were really trying, and they were succeeding in a lot of ways, but none of them appealed to me. The current one, fantastic. I love it.
I'll have to pick it up.
It's pretty good. We're going to move on. Star Trek, the original series, chronologically from 1966, ran 3 years, 1969. William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy.
They had a good crew going there, that's for
sure. George Takei? Takei?
Oh, my. Takei.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so he's my friend on Facebook. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, man. We're like legit friends now.
Yeah, so the original series, this is the one that Gene Roddenberry, like, it started the entire Star Trek thing.
It did, in fact.
It was Captain Kirk and
going out sleeping with every green woman in the universe.
Green, blue, if it was a woman. Woman part of time,
could be
at least.
A woman.
Yeah.
He was going to sleep with it.
The Shat would get it on. I'm going to call him that. He would find them respectable deals on hotels and rental cars. So
I'm dying.
You know, like I'm Star dying. Trek, the original series, that's fine. It started the Star Trek everything. But it started your best, most favorite series.
It did.
It spun it off. Star Trek The Next Generation from 1987 to 1994. You know what my claim to fame with Star Trek Next Generation is, Bear?
What's your claim to fame?
I bet you didn't know this. 3 days after I was born, this aired. 3 days.
No,
I was born the 25th. It aired on the 28th.
I feel like a bad Trekkie now.
No, it's good. So, yeah, started September 28th, 1987. I only know that for the memory hook of my birth. But so this was Captain Picard. This was Geordi. This was Worf.
Mm-hmm.
This was Will Wheaton.
Shut up.
This is Wesley.
Shut up, Wesley.
I'm
going to go see your mother.
This
violate
had
the Prime Directive.
Probably the most famous beard on television for a while.
The Riker beard.
The Riker beard. You shaved your Riker 5.
I did today before the show, in fact.
You have a Riker nothing now. You have a Riker 0.
Yeah.
Riker fresh.
Riker fresh. I like that. That's what I'm calling it.
In 10 words or less, you don't have to count these, but in 10 words or less, why do you like Next Generation so much?
The story, the meaning, the plots, the overall mentality of the show and what their morals are.
That wasn't really a sentence, but...
Okay, oh, you said words. You caught me on spot there.
Fair enough. Those are all qualities. I'll agree with that. I think, this is, I guess, when we really start to see, especially if you go watch it now, because they're all getting redone in Blu-ray, and it looks fantastic.
And they're redoing a lot of the effects that they couldn't do as well then.
Right,
and it's
right.
Great.
They still have all the master footage. It's looking fantastic. It's very expensive if you're going to buy them. Very, very expensive.
It is very expensive.
But they're worth it. I think... this was the first time I've ever really noticed it in a science fiction show, but I've noticed that the first season's always hard to get through, no matter
this
what
show
series.
This show has the stereotypical terrible first season.
I think it set this stereotypical first season.
I think it was
season.
Probably the one that did this. And you know the show gets good when Worf gets a new sash.
When he gets his like metal like,
when he gets
it
his
looks
metal
like an ammo
length.
Bandolier.
Yeah. When he gets the new sash, that's when the show gets good.
Awesome. Awesome, yeah. This spawned, I think, it's got 5 movies or 4 movies.
It's got them movies.
I guess it does. First Generation, First Contact, or Generations, First Contact, Insurrection.
Nemesis,
and then... Isn't there another one? Mega Explosion in Space? Something like that?
Mega Explosion in Space. No, I did not see that one.
Maybe it's just 4. Anyway, really, really awesome. Brent Spiner.
Spiner.
Spinner, play Data. I think I could probably, I'd want to talk to him forever.
Not this past Comic-Con New Orleans, but the previous one, I got to spend like 2 hours with him.
Awesome.
That guy is just completely legit. He is so cool.
How much more legit is he than Picard?
Well, I don't know. I have a lot of respect for Patrick Stewart, because at that Comic-Con, he was going to come because it was like the anniversary of Star Trek. It was the big thing, and I actually had the ticket to meet him and everything, but yeah. He had got the casting call for the new X-Men movie that's coming out this summer. So he had to go to
Days
New York.
Of Future Past.
Yeah, Days of Future Past. So he had to go to New York for filming and couldn't make the show. But he took his own free time to do a Skype call with everyone that bought the ticket and refunded us all our money and mailed us signed copies of the pictures of him.
Awesome.
So
sweet.
I have a lot of respect for this entire cast. Like, they actually care about their fans and they love what they do.
Awesome. Well, yeah, Star Trek Next Generation again. I've rewatched it twice very recently. I'm rewatching it as the Blu-rays come out, and
that's a good thing to do.
It's so nice. We're going to move on. Red Dwarf. This was a comedy, sci-fi British comedy from 88 to 99. I was a late Red Dwarf bloomer. That sounds really weird. I did not discover Red Dwarf until you said something about it. So, you go ahead and give us an idea of what Red Dwarf is.
Well, Red Dwarf, imagine you're on a spaceship, you're a complete screw up in life, and you get thrown in cryo storage and everyone dies. Then you wake up.
It sounds like Futurama, actually, when you say that.
Actually, you're right. So actually, they probably drew some from Red Dwarf to make Futurama, because it's very similar. So you wake up, what is it, like 1,000 years later or something?
It's like 3 million.
Okay. Anyway, your pet cat that you snuck onto the ship has evolved and had an entire species, and they're humanoid now, but he's the only one. You only see cat.
Right.
What else?
Oh, Frankenstein. Wasn't the cat named Frankenstein or something?
The original cat? Yeah. I think the original cat was named Frankenstein, but it's 3 million years. He's long dead. The new cat's named Cat, I think. Yeah, then you have the hologram, which is hilarious.
Rimmer
the hologram that later on becomes a woman at some point. I remember that.
Why not?
Yeah, because, you know,
it's
reasons.
Sci-fi.
Rimmer was actually the your roommate who was proper and hated you.
Nice.
But he died, but they resurrected him as a hologram. And the way you could tell he was a hologram is they stuck an H on the actor's head.
Oh, okay.
Like actual letter H.
I mean, this was back in the 80s. It was from the 80s to the almost 2000. I guess there wasn't much else they could do in way as a props. They could have Max Headroomed it, I guess.
Oh, man, Max Headroom, that was a good one. I don't think that's on our list, but that was good.
No.
But no, this show is just hysterical British humor. I don't know how else to explain it. It's just great.
So it's just like an odd couple, I guess, like the odd couple type of interaction between Rimmer and what was the guy's name? The guy that was stuck there.
Smeghead.
No. What was the guy?
What was his actual name?
Dave? Maybe Dave?
I don't remember his actual name. Just call him Smeghead.
Oh, okay. Smeghead. So I think it was the odd couple interaction between them. It, you know, for being as old as it is incredibly watchable.
It's incredible. It's still hilarious. And actually, did you watch the movie they made a couple years later?
The Back to Earth?
Yes, where they're at Earth?
No.
Oh,
I have not.
You've got to watch that. It is hilarious. They actually have one of those smart cars in it, and they redid it as like the little ship, like a drop ship. It's hilarious.
Oh, nice.
That's the kind of humor you get in the show, by the way.
Tongue-in-cheek humor.
Yeah. Check it out. That's one of my. That's probably my favorite sci-fi comedy.
Awesome. Moving on, we got The X-Files. This was a big one.
I want to believe.
You. I don't even remember that.
It's actually my ringtone, The X-Files thing.
Oh, okay. Nice. A lot of people don't remember The X-Files, I feel. Like, this new age generation of kiddies, they don't get it. It ran from 93 to 2002. That's a full, how many years is that? 9 years?
I can't math, please.
That's 9 years of, I'm going to say nine.
Ask Scully, she'll know.
9 years of The X-Files, and this was a show about conspiracies and finding the truth.
Government conspiracies, government cover-ups. It's what's happening in real life now.
Tinfoil
hat.
They did this thing, and it sort of does that. We see this in other series, and they weren't the first ones to do it, but I see it a lot in like Stargate, in Fringe, and some of these later shows we're going to talk about, where they do this monster of the week type of you know, part of the show is a monster of the week where they do this in episode micro storyline. And then there's part of this meta macro storyline that takes us throughout the entire season.
Like, who is the smoking man?
Right. Yeah.
What is he doing?
I was really into this because I liked Hitchcock movies.
Yeah.
His show, Alfred Hitchcock Presents. I watched The Night Gallery, Tales of the Crypt.
Oh, I love Tales of the Crypt.
The Twilight Zone. Tales from the Crypt. Outer Limits. I mean, I watched all these shows
so
before or when I was watching X-Files. And it's sad. I never watched the X-Files movie. They had a movie.
Oh, really? It was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Was it?
Yeah, okay. I mean, like, you know, manage expectations, but it wasn't bad.
Well, yeah. I think if I was going to watch it, I'd have to watch the entire X-Files series again, which is not much.
What are you doing?
It's like 200 episodes, 9 seasons. It's not a lot of
material to get
through.
It's not like you're
watching
all of Doctor Who.
Right, yeah. That's a lot. Anyway, yeah, so this followed Agent Scully and Special Agent Mulder and Scully.
And
Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'll go. Thank you. I was going to say, with Agent Scully, there's actually some fan theories and conspiracies about a conspiracy show that Scully's actually dead at some point in the show.
Huh.
And
okay.
She's not actually alive.
That's what means
when
you're
dead. Yes, but like, watch the show thinking that. And it makes it very, very interesting.
Okay.
But
I'll have to do that.
But that being said, she doesn't know she's dead.
So she's Bruce Willis?
Yeah. From what was that?
From Sixth Sense?
Yes, Sixth Sense. I see dead people.
Up next, we got Sliders from 1995 to 1999. 4-year run, 4 seasons. This took, I can't remember the guy's name. The actual, it was Jerry O'Connell, but... Malcolm or Cameron. I can't remember the guy's name in the show.
I didn't really watch Sliders, so you're on your own here. No, I missed out on Sliders.
It was, his name was Quinn Mallory. So Sliders was a science fiction show about this physics student who was incredibly brilliant, but he wasn't exactly, he was always tardy. He didn't really care about school that much, but he was brilliant. He built this device. It was like a remote control that he had a theory about something, and he built it in his remote. Whenever he activated this remote, it created a wormhole to another dimension.
Stop. Is this why in elementary school you got me to try to build the time machine with microchips?
Yeah, man. That's what we did.
We
in
took
elementary
apart
school.
Those RC cars and we tried to make a time machine out of the microchips.
And it may have worked. We're traveling through time,
aren't we? We are traveling through time. Who says
maybe
it didn't
we're
work?
The ones maybe we're the ones that made this happen. We just did we're traveling through time.
Oh my god, man, did it work?
At one speed.
we're
only going just one speed faster. So yeah, the idea is that it would open a wormhole and it would travel to a world that could be exactly the same, except a little different than the world we're in. So multiple dimension type thing, parallel universes. He ended up like hooking in the professor that he worked with, his like girl he was trying to impress, and this R&B blues singer, slow jam guy, Rembrandt. And anyway, they have to slide. That's the thing. The timer gets broken or something on this thing, so they can't slide on command, and they can't control where they're going. So it's more or less a random type of sliding event. You know, the timer will exhaust. You know, say we got 10 hours. In 10 hours, it will automatically open a wormhole. If they miss that, then there's a good chance that the wormhole will never be opened again. And then once they slide into this other one, it could be the dimension that they came from. It could be their world, but most of the time it's not. It's this, you know, this world that something's crazy. You know, red means go and green means stop, and the justice system's all weird. And
I can't handle
over,
that.
If you're over 25, you get executed or something. It's really weird.
Man.
So, it wasn't a bad show, though. It did this thing where I think the lead actor brought his brother on board. Like he was like, "I want more money, and I want my brother to have a part." He needs to be my brother in the show. And then by the 4th season, he wanted too much money and they cut him out of the show.
And this is why I never do business with family.
They changed the actors. No, I mean, they changed like both of those actors. Like they changed the lead guy and his brother.
Nice.
In like one episode of the first of the last season. It was bad. So it wasn't a bad series, but it was one of those where like you could catch an episode and you'd be like, "Oh, that's interesting. That's Sliders. I've experienced that."
I could tell you a better series.
What's that?
Stargate SG-1.
Oh yeah,
ran from 97 to 2006.
It actually holds a record, believe it or not. It's not the longest science fiction show, but it's the longest science fiction show that's made in North America.
Ah.
So it's Canadian, American, North America. North of South America, in fact.
North of South America.
It's 214 episodes long. This show is, it's one of my favorite shows,
yeah,
really.
It's up there for me. Funny story about the show. I watched all 214 episodes and then found out there was a movie that it was based off of. Oh, I also watched the movies that it made and then found out there's a movie from the original.
Yeah. This is based off a 1994 movie with I think it's Michael Shanks. Or maybe Michael Shanks is the guy that's in the series. But it's got like Kirk Douglas and I think it's Kirk Douglas. I could be completely wrong about that. They changed a bunch of stuff between the movie and the series.
But the movie is different from the series, but they're both very good, worth watching.
Oh yeah, if you don't have a lot of time, watch the movie.
If you have a lot of time,
watch it.
If you have a lot of time, watch the series.
You know, when you talk about Stargate, though, you don't just talk about the movie and SG-1. You talk about it's like got a legacy.
It does.
It's got Atlantis following, or Atlantis and SG-1 overlap.
And Atlantis was great, by the way.
It was great. I think
Rodney
it ended too
McKay.
Soon. Dr. McKay is awesome.
He
you know
made
what?
Atlantis for me.
People say what they want. I really liked Carson Beckett, and I really liked Joe Flanagan as Colonel Shepard.
Who was the legal guy?
The legal guy? Oh, that was Woolsey.
Woolsey. Yeah. I love that actor. He's also one of the Star Treks.
He's
a
Voyager, I think.
Yeah, he's the doctor. And he's, in my opinion, the only good part about Voyager.
Oh, wow.
yeah.
They had Worf was in Deep Space Nine, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in Deep Space Nine.
Anyway, yeah, so SG-1 overlapped for, I want to say, two seasons with Atlantis.
I believe that sounds right, yeah.
If I'm correct, maybe a little bit more. And then Atlantis ended in 2009. Atlantis was the series where SG-1 typically took place on Earth. Atlantis went to the Atlantean galaxy of Pegasus, the Pegasus galaxy, found the lost city of Atlantis from the Ascensions, the Ancients.
Right.
And then Universe, which followed Atlantis. Again, Atlantis sort of like ended abruptly, I might add.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. Maybe very sad.
Very abruptly. But then Stargate Universe happened, and these guys were just cruising on a ship, and it got canceled after two seasons.
Universe was amazing. I see why it got canceled, though. They are trying to be Battlestar Galactica, and you can't just do that.
On that note, we are going to cut to a song because we got to talk about Battlestar Galactica when we come back.
That's going to be a whole segment alone.
That's almost an entire show. Again, it may be an entire show. It's like why we love Battlestar Galactica. This is The Will of One by the Proto Men. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU. So say we all.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is Experience Points, and I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And that was The Will of One by the Proto Man. Guys, look, we're sorry, but like...
We nerded out too long.
It was our heart started pounding. We started talking about sci-fi. We're out of time. Like,
leave you on a cliffhanger with Battlestar Galactica.
That's fine, though. You know what? Because
just
next week...
Just like every episode.
We didn't plan that, really. It just happens.
It's gotta get real.
We're gonna leave you with another song. Before we do that, Bear... What is the website?
That's exppoints.com. Double tap for P.
You could also go to that website, scroll to the very bottom of the page, and look at all the other pieces of social media that we have. Facebook, YouTube, Google+, Twitter, RSS feed, emails.
Wow, we still do RSS.
We still do all this stuff. Yeah, we do RSS. We're on iTunes. Check us out. We're about to be on Stitcher. We've got a few affiliate sponsorships out there. And stand by because we've got this big, great, amazing, platform-shaking thing coming on Experience Points. World-breaking.
Wait for it.
Breaker of chains, if you've watched Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Anyway, this is happening, so stay tuned for all of that. And, of course, stay tuned next week, as well as every Wednesday. Again, last two Wednesdays, total fluke. Don't know what happened.
Spacey, timey, timey, wimey.
It's every Wednesday, 9 to 10. We will be here. Make sure you're also here. If you can't be, go to the website or go to iTunes. We're available there too anytime you want to listen to us. But
anytime.
We are going to leave you with Critical Hit by MC Frontalot, and then we're going to be back next week with part two of our awesome, mega, super cool sci-fi show. We might even throw some more in there. It is an extravaganza. We should call it that.
Yeah, that's why I called it that.
Part two extravaganza.
Boom.
This is MC Frontalot with Critical Hit. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
Got to sometimes feel like...